No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. Ed's taking a break this week after Sun and Fun. However, He walked too much. Yeah. His feet hurt. So he couldn't walk to the studio today to join us. But I don't know.
Sitting at home, feet up on his pedestal, you know, relaxing.
Just marveling at how many steps he achieved on his Fitbit.
That's probably exactly what he's doing because, yeah. You know, he was watching it all the time.
I think he broke 20,000 steps. And, you know, it might be a record.
For the couple days that we were there, yes, he did.
Definitely. And that's a record for him. It was a record for Sun and Fun. Not in steps, but in attendance and in participants.
And revenue as well.
And revenue, yeah. I mean, they're claiming this was the highest attended Sun and Fun in 43 years in their total history. Up 10%, I think, over their best numbers, which I think they said might have been 2014.
14.
Sure. It was? Okay.
Yep.
So, congratulations to the folks there at Sun and Fun Lights and his entire crew. I mean, we had a great time out there doing the show last week. It was a lot of fun, especially identifying the different planes flying overhead.
That is a lot of fun.
Yeah. How you nailed the last one.
Name this sound.
Yes. Name the sound flying overhead. And the last one, you no hesitation. You knew immediately. And then we found out about 30 seconds later, yep, he is correct. as we smelled the fact, wait, that wasn't a plane. They were pumping out the portalettes nearby. But it did have that low rumble of a, you know, P-51. And then, whoa! But good times,
except
right?
Except for it wasn't the rumble going out. It was the rumble going in this time.
What do you mean, rumble going in?
Well, as they were sucking out
They were sucking out the poo.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, they have to use a pretty loud compressor, and it just happened to be by our broadcast location. We're going to have to think that through a little bit more next time. Actually, you know, it was radio gold, so it was a perfect way to end the show last week, and I wish we would have scripted it, because I could have claimed once again that we're geniuses, but no, that just happened. It was just the magic that you can't script. Sometimes life just happens.
Sometimes and it's better things. To just go with the flow.
Yes. So, anyway, good times for sure. You know, I was just there doing the show and camping on, you know, Wednesday night. But you hung over Thursday and Friday. I don't know. Did any of us hang over on the weekend or no?
No.
Now, Dimitri, our Russian correspondent, flew in, I believe, on Saturday morning. And I've seen the video on YouTube. We're going to try to connect with him today on Just Plane Radio and get his thoughts. But from the video I saw, it looks like he had no problem. But the guys that were calling the traffic when he was flying in on this YouTube video sounded like auctioneers. 327, tilt your wings. Sold! You know, I mean, you could have replaced ATC calls with auctioneer, and it'd probably been he probably does that in his spare time. You know, they have to multitask there in the Lakeland area sometimes. They don't do this year
in the Lakeland area, that's for sure. Yeah. I wonder how Dimitri did with all that.
Well, I mean, he landed the plane. I saw the video, and it looked like he didn't have any issue from what I could tell.
Oh, good.
They said, put it on the green dot, and looked like he was pretty darn close from what I saw from the video. And he, you know when your pilot shares the video on YouTube, he feels pretty confident in his performance. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to put it out there for the world to see when you totally blew it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know.
What, you would do that? You would put up a mistake on YouTube that you made? You
sure,
wouldn't.
Why not?
No, you're a liar!
Why?
Well,
people could maybe learn from it.
Well, you could do that, but then you would, like, hey, here's what Greg did. You would pin the blame.
Of course.
Say it wasn't, I wasn't flying. That was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So you could do that. I changed the names to protect the guilty.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Right. But Dimitri looked like he did pretty well. So hopefully we'll get a report from him and find out how he enjoyed the show on top of flying in and out of sun and front. I think he just flew in on Saturday and went out on Saturday. I know that was a plan. I didn't see the takeoff video. I've only seen the arrival. So maybe there's a reason. We'll find out.
Yeah, we had some of our customers flew in on Thursday, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they had no issues getting in or out.
Yeah.
Of course, the weather on Thursday wasn't all that great in the morning.
Right.
We had some pretty heavy thunderstorms come through here early in the morning.
A little wet. But yeah, you know, the rest of the day, Thursday, it kind of cleared up. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I mean, it was spectacular weather.
Well, you couldn't ask for better weather.
Yeah. And so I think that obviously, you know, played to their advantage as far as attendance and stuff. But, I mean, hopefully this is a sign for the economy in general, that the aviators are feeling it. Light, you know, from Sun and Fun, he was very enthusiastic. He just feels this could be the time that we've been waiting for the industry to really pick up. People are ready to spend some money, go flying more, and they're feeling a little bit more positive about things in that regard. So, I don't know, time will tell. But he was really optimistic along those lines. Of course, you add the weather into the mix. That's a pretty good, a potent combination
right. Of
positivity that hopefully will continue. And we'll see if this is just a fluke or something that, we'll all benefit across the country. Maybe it'll, segue right into Air Venture here in a few months and some other air shows and stuff like that. I like the idea.
I know you do.
You guys absolutely. Have been cranking at the flight school. And I know you were doing some other work there at Sun and Fun, scoping planes and things?
Scoping airplanes.
Did you make any progress, Keith, or what?
We did eliminate some.
Yeah.
But we're still in the process.
Now, how do you eliminate a plane? You just go look at it and like, oh, no, this isn't going to work. I can't fit in it.
Well, that's an issue for me.
Right.
That's typically not an issue for Ed.
Yeah.
That actually does make it a little bit more difficult for me to say yes or no on an airplane if I don't necessarily fit in them.
Yeah.
You know, like our Skycatchers, I can get in it, but I just can't fly it.
Right.
So,
you know, picture a sardine in a can, and, you're in there with two others, but the fish are way too big.
Yes.
For the can. The, like, fins are, like, exploding through the...
Through the doors and the windows. And,
they're curled up into like the fetal position. Well, you know, anyway. But regardless, yeah, you're looking for things like that, I guess. But also, aren't you paying more attention to fuel economy and things like that or what?
Actually, fuel economy is not our number one.
No.
For the light sport, it's payload.
Really?
Yeah.
You just have to have a little bit more weight capacity.
Correct.
To carry them. So what?
Because if you get, you know, we really need something that we can carry at least two 200-pound guys in there.
Right.
And actually get a lesson in. You know, you can do that in all of them, but you may have to go around the traffic pattern once, land, get fuel.
Hmm.
You know, so we want to be able to go out to the practice area, spend an hour, hour and a half flying.
Yeah.
So have enough fuel for that. So fuel economy does play a role, but... The payload is our biggest issue.
Really? Is it? But that's not a problem with the Skycatcher. They just not making them anymore.
It is, but the Skycatcher has a very easy way of fueling the airplane so you can keep the fuel down.
Hmm.
You've got a sight gauge on the inside of the airplane.
Yeah.
So the fuelers fueling the airplane could look through the window while they're fueling it, and they can see exactly where the fuel's at. And so it makes it really easy. A lot of the light sports don't have anything. So it's either full or it's empty, and you really don't have much to go by in between.
Really? They don't have a fuel gauge.
Well, they do have fuel gauges.
Yeah.
But, you know, for accuracy, for weight and balance, for flight training, you know, if we have to have, you know, only 10 gallons a side, there's really no way to do that on a lot of the light sports.
Interesting. That seems like it'd be a fairly easy design fix.
It would, but...
Haven't some of the other manufacturers come up with pretty creative solutions, or what? Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I think Cessna's got the best solution so far that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of these airplanes weren't designed for flight schools to begin with.
Got it.
They're designed for the individual to purchase it and get their light support certificate. And
exactly. Somebody who just wants to be a weekend warrior, fly a plane around their house or property or whatever and be good to go.
Well, you can do that, but you could also do things like, I mean, we've seen it out of Sebring, the light sports show, where they take them 50 airplanes at a time and head out to the Bahamas. So you could fly these airplanes. It just has to be done in VFR flying.
Right.
In, you know, VFR day.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right. Well, did you find a couple that might be working for you?
We have. So we've got some more test flights to do that we've got scheduled, and so we're working on it.
Okay. So, and that was the perfect venue to do it. Was it?
It
Sun
was.
Is fun. Do you find that now you're going to have to go to more air shows to do more test flights?
No, because they're going to bring them to us.
Oh, well, that's even better. So they're bringing an air show to Keith and Ed at Flight Training Professionals.
There you go.
And they're going to call me and let me know so I can come and do some of this stuff with them. I'll be that other 200-pound guy that they have to take up in the airplane, right?
You used to could.
What?
But not anymore.
What?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Keith. We are your crew today, navigating the latest aviation news and information. And, of course, we watch TV, too. And so we know about the United incident that happened this week, and we'd be amiss if we didn't address that in some capacity. Maybe a slightly different spin than what you're seeing on the mainstream media, because, you know, Keith is a former commercial pilot. And he's had to deal with this stuff before. I kind of watched it from the perspective of everyone else, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they dragged this guy, you know, off the plane and stuff. But I will say that how did it get to this point where they had to drag the guy out of the seat? Now, I'm not saying he was treated right. That was insane what happened to the guy. However, something had to happen to get to that point where he literally had to be dragged out of the seat by security. Whether you agree they used too much force or not, He was not cooperating whatsoever. You know, and as a pilot, I remember in, you know, Aviation 101, you are the pilot in command. You are the captain of the ship, whether you like it or not. And if the pilot says, get the hell off my plane, and you don't do it, whether it's United or what, I mean, it doesn't really matter. You're supposed to abide by what they say, whether you agree with them or not. Am I right, Keith?
That is correct.
So I'm not taking United's side by any stretch of the imagination. However, I do wonder what happened before this video, how uncooperative this guy was being, or was he verbally abusive, you know, to the flight attendants and the folks at United? I mean, obviously, nobody wanted to give up their seat. And I think everybody can relate with that scenario. It shouldn't have got to the point where they were forcing people to get off the plane. And that's, I think, what we'll find out eventually, or, you know, what more they could have done. 20/20 hindsight. But at the time, if the pilot or the flight attendant comes up to you and say, hey, sorry, you got to get off the plane, you have no right to say no. And I think that's the element that the general public may not have a total grasp of.
Right.
Is that true, Keith?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but there's a number of issues here. Number one, the airlines are allowed to oversell flights.
Right.
And they do it just about every single flight.
Yeah.
And it's because people go online, they purchase it, or they sign up for a ticket, but they never show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, they have been allowed to oversell the flights. And Delta is actually the worst of overselling airplanes.
Okay.
So they oversell the flights, which means on a full flight, somebody's not going to get on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have statistics that prove that X amount of people are not going to show up for that flight.
Right.
And so they oversell it, and when everybody shows up, there's a problem. Now, the gate agent should have been able to stop it. The gate agent should have counted how many passengers were getting on board the airplane and not let that person down.
Right.
Once they get past the jet bridge, they think they can get on there. However, that being said, there is a complete lack of respect for individuals nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
The gate agents are humans. They make mistakes. Yes, they're using electronic terminals and so forth that are supposed to count them. Those can make mistakes as well. So, you know, when you're asked to get off an airplane, get off the airplane.
Yeah.
You know, you're no more important than anybody else.
Right.
Just because this gentleman happened to be, well, I call him a gentleman. He didn't act like a gentleman. This guy was a doctor. Doesn't mean that he's any more important than anybody else on that airplane.
True. Yeah. I mean, I do feel for him. But once again, you know, this whole idea of greasy wheel gets the grease kind of thing. What is it?
Squeaky wheel.
Yeah,
gets
one of those.
Grease.
Right. There you go. If it's a greasy wheel, I guess you don't need anything.
But very typically, the way the airlines will do this is whoever paid the lowest fare is going to be taken off the airplane first.
Yeah. Boy, I'm in big trouble.
So just keep that in mind, you know. So if you're going for the lowest fare and the flight is oversold,
see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah, you're gonna be asked to get off the airplane.
Mm-hmm. But you might be able to fly free next time because they might give you a credit. You never know.
Possibly. That gentleman, they probably will not give a credit.
I'm guessing there's going to be some issues, you know. But the thing is, we don't see any of the. I haven't seen any video leading up to him being pulled off the plane. You see the video of him being pulled off the plane or after, and his face is bleeding. He's walking back up and down the aisle or something. I mean, he looks like a madman.
But, you know, again, complete absolute disrespect for law enforcement. You know, the law enforcement's there. If the airline asks you to get off the airplane and you don't do it and they call law enforcement, it's a felony not to abide by the requests of the flight crew.
Right.
And
I mean,
so
yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're a doctor. It doesn't matter if you're a prince or a king. You have to abide by the rules.
Yeah.
And then when law enforcement shows up, come on, you know, go take it outside and talk to them out there and let them figure it out from there. Don't make a scene in an airplane.
Yeah. I mean, it was just unfortunate. It made the security look really bad because it did look, you know, rough. But But look, the guy wasn't getting up out of his seat. What other alternative you got if he's not going to get up and they got to get him off the plane?
Well, not only that, but how much room is there to do anything in an airplane?
Very little.
So, I mean, it looks rougher than what it actually is.
Yeah. If they were in business or first class, maybe it would have been much easier.
See, if he was such an important person and had to be on that flight, he should have bought a first class ticket.
Well, I don't know about that. But.
Well, I'm just saying, if he thinks he's that important, you know, he obviously bought one of the, you know, lower fares.
Well, we don't know. Because, you know, I haven't seen, they haven't really said what the criteria is. I'm not sure if it's the lowest base fare or last person to check in or buy their ticket or blah, blah, blah. You know, there's been a bunch of speculation in that regard. But, you know, that'll come out soon enough. And should have it been, you know, headed off at the pass? Yes. But when it got to that point, part of the blame, I do agree, has to go to the people on the plane. You have to, you know, accept this, whether you like it or not. You know, nobody's going to do this happily. You know, you wouldn't expect them to go, oh, sure. You know, but you also don't expect them to put up a fight.
Right.
Or to, you know, sit there and protest and, like, you know, go get the police and have them drag me off the plane and create that big scene. There's a little, you can deal with the issues after you get off the plane or after the fact, as opposed to making a big stink and raising it to the level that it got. So I don't know. We will see. But I do wonder if that pilot in command element that aviators can maybe relate to more, that it doesn't really filter down to the general public. They don't quite understand that as clearly as we may as pilots. You think? Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, see, we're smarter than everybody else. That's what you should tell all your non-flying friends.
That I'm smarter than they are?
Yeah. We're geniuses, and they got to catch up with the rest of us or something like that, right?
Well, that's not very relationship building.
Oh, who cares about that? We're just better than them.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today, navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so, flying. That's what we should be doing as opposed to just talking about it right now. But, we aim to inspire, especially tomorrow's aviation enthusiasts, Keith.
Like, absolutely.
You know, like it's Sun and Fun. We met a few of them. What, Mila or Myla?
Myla.
Yep. And we're going to follow her progress as she was following around lights at Sun and Fun there last week and see how she does. But you have a story about a guy who did something on his birthday that should inspire us. Or everyone else, or what?
Everyone else.
Okay.
This is kind of important because, you know, they changed the laws about, or the regulations, I should say, about when you could solo an airplane. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of reneged on it a little bit because of all the backlash. And so in Massachusetts, we have a young teenager, 16 years old. On his birthday, he did his first solo flight.
Really?
So, you know, your first solo is a huge milestone.
Absolutely.
You know.
You never forget it.
Never forget it.
Especially when you do a 360 about 500 feet off the ground on your final.
Yeah.
Well,
there's other reasons
idea.
Why you shouldn't forget your first solo. But
yeah.
But at any rate, that is a huge milestone in somebody's flight training. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that on your 16th birthday is... Man, that's
bonus.
What a bonus that is.
Heck yeah.
And so congratulations to Joe.
Okay.
You know, who did this.
Joe did it.
16th birthday, soloed the airplane.
And he did that where?
At Marshfield Airport in Massachusetts.
Ever been there?
I have never been there.
Okay. Well, now we got a reason to go, to be like Joe.
Be like Joe.
Yeah.
So
congratulations to Joe. If you have any aviation little nuggets like that we can share to highlight your achievements here on Just Plain Radio, we're here to please. We're here to give you the, that day in the sun that you deserve beyond the fact that you just feel you've accomplished something you never thought you could do.
There you go.
We want to share with the world and inspire others. That's what this show's all about, right?
Absolutely. Inspiration.
And me.
That's what we are.
A lot about me, too.
Well, yeah, a lot about you.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Well, that's the craziest video game I've ever seen.
It's actually a flight simulator.
You learning how to fly?
I'm still learning how to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information. And, okay, so there's a story I saw here, Keith. Boeing and JetBlue are working with another company. They hope to come out with a electric hybrid 10-seater airplane by the year 2020. That seems a little optimistic on the timeline. What do you think?
I don't think it is.
You think they can do this?
I think they're going to do it. For 10 passengers, that's a fairly small airplane. There's another company out there who's going to try and do 150 passengers by 2025.
Wow.
And it'll go 300 miles.
Will that be that's not a U.S. company.
It's not a U.S. company,
though. No, I was going to say. But in this one, you know, Boeing and JetBlue, they're working with another company. I'm not sure where they are or what the name is off the top of my head. But it'd be cool if they are. I mean, I have a feeling, though, it still won't be that cost effective. Especially if it comes out in 2020, it'll probably still cost more, you think?
Well, you didn't ask whether it was going to be cost effective. You asked if it was going to be possible.
Well, okay. Good point. Yeah. And so, that doesn't mean by 2020 they will be flying commercially that way yet either. But it'd be interesting if they could pull it off.
Right.
I mean, ideally, if they got enough of these things out there, it could bring the cost down possibly, I guess. I don't know. I mean, obviously, that's the ultimate goal, isn't it?
It is.
Or is it just to save fuel and charge us whatever the heck we are paying now,
I think it's both. I think it's certainly to save fuel.
But the savings aren't going to go to us.
Well, no, it's going to go to the airline.
Yeah, and extra security, you know, when it comes to the United.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you drag people off airplanes and stuff, that costs money.
Yeah.
But I think what they're going to try and do is they're going to have, instead of fuel stations, they're going to have, you know, battery stations. So you pull in to the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the battery panel up.
Plug up to that little...
Put a new battery panel in, and you're off and ready to go.
Or are they just going to tap into one of those towers they have at the airport?
That takes too long to charge.
Okay. All right. You've tried those? They don't work for your iPhone either?
I haven't charged. I haven't done that. I usually make sure my phone is charged before I get there.
Okay. Well, that's probably a good thing. But yeah, I don't know. These hybrid electrics, though, you may not have to charge them because they make it so the flying thing, or what, I don't know, they kick in the fuel every now and then, and that charges the battery back up in the air, right?
Right.
So I don't think they have to plug them in. These are non-pluggable airplanes they're trying to create, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they say, like I said, they have a battery pack, just like a cargo container. That's where their batteries are going to be. And
right.
They just put them in, take them out.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it'd be cool if they can pull it off. But I wonder if they'll sacrifice the entertainment they have on JetBlue. That's kind of nice. That's a nice perk. You know,
it's always a give and take.
What do you mean it's a give and take? Don't you like having that?
You got the entertainment or you got the cheap flight, you know, one of the two.
Well, no, they're fairly economical flights.
Oh, yeah.
But they
I'm
throw
just saying
in
if
this
they, if they get in the electrics and the costs go up.
Well, that's my thing. I mean, if they are going to make it hybrid electric and you have to give up Sirius XM radio when you're up in the air or DirecTV, hey, screw that. I want my entertainment back, you. Yeah.
Careful, you can't say that on the air.
Actually, I could have, but I'd have to bleep myself. So, you know, the thing is, it'll be interesting to see for sure, and I hope they can. I just wonder if 3 years is a little overly optimistic. I mean, we haven't seen one yet, period. So if they think they can have one ready in 3 years, I mean, all we've seen so far are these little trainer planes, right?
Right.
And they've only done like 2-seater deals. Have we seen anything bigger than that yet on the electric hybrid thing?
No. But look what Tesla's doing.
True. Yeah, if Tesla would just put wings on one of their cars, it'd be fine. Yeah. I mean, they cost as much as planes. You'd think they'd fly. Right?
That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I just want to know what they're going to do with all these batteries when they go bad.
Recycle them. That's what they got to do. Because they're going to... There is an issue with those.
They're still lead waste.
They're still... But they can find something to recycle them into. You know, like kids' toys. That's, isn't that what they're doing in China?
Probably.
They're turning them into Legos and shipping them to the U.S. or something, from what I read on the internet. So it must be true. Anyway, so we'll see. We'll follow that accordingly. And that could help us as aviators bring the cost down, ideally. Or at least make the airlines richer. Because I have a feeling, just like all the baggage fees that we have to now pay for, that a few years ago... we didn't have any issue with it at all. And then fuel prices came down, and ironically, the baggage fees stayed.
And the airlines are more profitable now than they have been in the last 25 years.
Yeah, hello. Of course they are. So, that's why I say that. They may save money with these hybrid electrics, but I'm not convinced it's going to save us any money.
It ain't going to save you any money.
Which kind of blows, which gives me another excuse to become a pilot and fly myself. Make it cheaper for a pilot to fly himself around the world or wherever he wants to go. And, now I'm sold. I like the technology. Bring it this way. But don't expect the commercial carriers to use the technology to make it cheaper for you to fly to grandma's house for the holidays, because I have a feeling that just isn't going to trickle down.
That's definitely not Reaganomics, sir.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, so the other big element... which, not a huge surprise for me, being that I'm kind of a fan, or at least a fan of the news about drones, is drones. Sun and Fun, their big finale, it ended up, it wasn't the Saturday Night Air Show with the fireworks. Yeah, maybe it was for some. But on Sunday, they evidently had a big drone demonstration that drew like record numbers, like over 500 people. Watched this drone demonstration on Sunday at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, and got quite a bit of news because they were shocked how many people showed up at this thing. And I didn't see it. I haven't talked to anybody who went to it, but I've seen the press coverage after, and the numbers were impressive. And all I see is that they were showing people on how to fly drones, which, I was like, okay, what do you mean? I can fly a drone. I got a drone sitting right here on the studio desk. Keith has flown my drone. He crashed it. That's why this new one is sitting here on my desk.
That's because Ed crashed it.
Okay, we can blame him. He's not here today. So, I'm not sure what the buzz was, but, I think one of the things about the drone world is that there's so many different designs coming out right now. These little portable things where the armatures just fold out, and it's about the size, not much bigger than an iPhone. Those are kind of cool, and they're getting smaller, more portable, easier to work with. I mean, the controller is your phone, and you actually look at your phone, and you have the screen. If it has a camera on it, and it shows you what it's filming and all that kind of stuff, or, you make a selfie with it or whatever. So I think it's more the... latest and greatest drone technology, not really how to fly them, that's getting everybody's attention, or what they can do. And the price point, too, has gotten ridiculously cheap.
Right.
So that's one thing. And also the fact that they had a tent. So they had to have a tent in order to have this demonstration, because in case one of the drones went,
haywire.
Wobbly. Yeah.
AWOL.
Yeah. It wouldn't create any problem with the already congested air traffic for Sun and Fun. So you're flying drones around in tents. So it's like battle bots in the air. You know what I mean? That's what they ought to do. They ought to start having, air wars. And, I mean, they're already doing these drone races. Have you seen those? Have you seen the video of those?
I've seen videos of it.
I think they really ought to start doing, drone battle bots. Maybe they're already doing it. I haven't seen it yet, though. But that, if you really want to kick it up a notch and have...
Why don't you set it up?
Maybe we should do this. Yeah, could you get behind that? Yeah, I mean, I know you're not a big fan of the drones. You or Ed or both, you're like, oh, God, Greg, you got to bring up the drones again? Well, yeah, I'm just trying to stay up with what all the kids are into. And who doesn't like to see stuff blown to bits? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I like that.
Yeah. But if it was like, it's one thing to have, you know, Bubba with his shotgun ready to take the drone out, you know, that flies over his property. But if you had an event like, you know, like Air Venture, and you go into the drone tent and like, you know, cage match, drones in the sky will die. I mean, that would be like a grand finale kind of fireworks thing.
Yeah, I think the price point has to come down just a little bit more, though.
What do you mean?
For you to be able to blow up drones and make it worthwhile.
The price point of the drone, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, we could just use these little mini drones.
It'd be much better to see the big ones.
Well, that's true. You know, they got the lasers and all that stuff. I don't know. We got to work it out. Throw in some pyrotechnics. We can make this work. It's another bad idea from your friends here at Just Plain Radio. You're welcome.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
It's sometimes referred to as the martini effect and has nothing to do with drinking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The martini effect is a slang term to refer to nitrogen narcosis, the physical and mental impairment experienced by scuba divers on deeper dives. Most divers don't feel the effects at 30 or even 60 feet. Everyone is different, much as some people get drunk more easily than others. But with increasing depth, you are much more likely to feel it. At 100 feet and deeper, you will definitely be affected, even if you're not aware of it. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith, rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, so Sun and Fun was last week. We had a blast. Record attendance. Now, I have not heard of any sightings of Harrison Ford. I was wondering if maybe he would... show up, but then I kind of like, after his latest incidents of landing on a taxiway out there, I think it was out in California, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. That he may not want to be out in public in the aviation world as much as we'd love to have him.
Well, he should have, because it would be legal for him to land on a taxiway there.
Okay, well, there's that. Yeah. But, you know, I wonder if he's staying away a little bit or let some time pass because, you know, he knows the jokes are going to come. That's just what we do.
Sorry, Harrison.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, there could be, you know, he's going to have to face the music eventually and just put up with the ribbing. And he seems like a pretty good-natured guy. I think he would take it okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I do wonder.
What he did to the tower, to the controller.
Right. Yeah, he had a comment or two that was somewhat, you know, comedic. But you know, you got to wonder,
the
too.
The interesting thing is there, if yeah. I may interject here.
Go ahead.
Is that he immediately owned up to his actions.
Right.
Unlike the gentleman on the United flight.
Okay, you mean the passenger.
The passenger, yeah.
Yeah.
Just get off the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
Harrison
okay.
immediately is, yeah. I'm the guy that just landed out of the taxiway.
Don't! Well, it's a little... I don't know if you're comparing apples to apples. I mean, you're Han Solo versus
just
some...
take responsibility. Doctor. That guy wasn't taking... United wasn't taking any responsibility. Harrison took full responsibility.
Yeah. Well, you mean the passenger or you mean the...
Yeah, the passenger. Didn't take any responsibility.
Well, okay.
He's putting himself in front of everybody else.
Yep, yep. Okay. All right. Yeah, I follow you slightly. But, you know, I do wonder if, you know, Harrison is, you would think if you just put yourself into his shoes, if I was him, I'd be much more better looking. But I'm just saying, and probably would have made better choices on some of the films. But I'm just saying, if I was him, that I would probably second guess my skills. That's a natural thing as a aviator. If you make a mistake, like, oh crap, you know, or you know, what am I doing wrong here? You know, am I getting more forgetful in my older years? Maybe I need to.
I don't think so.
Well, I would hope that's not the case.
No,
but I'm just saying
mistakes can happen. Yeah. I mean, we've had commercial airline pilots who are a lot younger than him have done the exact same thing.
Right. Well, a mistake is a mistake, but at what point, you know, because he must be pushing 70, isn't he?
Yeah, but there's plenty of people that fly a lot longer than that.
Well, yeah, I saw this story. We have this guy who's still flying private charters in, I think, Mississippi, and he's 80. And he might be one of the oldest guys doing that. I think that's what the press release said, something to that effect, covering his thing. I said, but what point?
Got a next door neighbor who's 74.
Yeah. I mean, at what point do you say, you know, it's time to hang up the keys to the plane? And I mean, what is that final trigger, you think? Or do you guys encounter that a few times, or have you a few times there at the flight school?
No.
Never?
Nope.
So what?
Put that again. Well, I take that back. We have one time.
Yeah.
We have one time. We had somebody who got into a situation with the FAA. They were going to do what they call a 709 ride.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know what? I ain't doing this.
Right.
And we talked him into at least doing the 709 ride. And so we retrained him. And we have the opportunity to do that quite a bit because of our relationship with the Orlando FISDO here.
Got it. But a 709 is what you have to do once you've made a violation of some capacity or something?
You may have to.
You
don't have to. It's if the FAA requests it.
Right.
And basically it means the FAA wants to determine whether or not you're competent to hold your certificates.
Right.
And so this guy made a mistake. He owned up to the mistake, and he was going to just... because of his age, just blow it off. He's like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Right.
But he went through with it.
Yeah.
And passed the check ride without any problems.
Yeah, that'd be a sucky way to go out. I think even, you know, I mean, I remember Dennis. We had that guy who left, the tow gear on his plane.
Right.
And, you know, he made a mistake and he landed the plane without incident, but it ended up being a big thing. And he's like, gosh, if I'm that absent-minded to do that, it might be time to hang it up. And I think he did, you know, but, you know, like an incident like that, that's why I'm wondering, is that going to be the trigger that determines, okay, maybe it's time for me to move on to something else? You know, I mean, I guess you just have to make that personal judgment yourself and, you know, evaluate your own physical skills, and you have to kind of identify that a little bit,
you
guess,
do.
Right?
Yeah, you do. It's kind of like, what do you hang up driving? You know,
never.
It's tough to do.
I That's why I have a driver. That's why I want a driver. I mean, it'd be, you know, chauffeur me along in a limo. I'm good to go.
Yeah, you sound like Ed.
I was that way when I was 20. You see what I'm saying? I haven't quite got to that level where I'm having my own limo service, you know, at my disposal. But it's a goal. Yeah, so
that's
never
why you always have me drive. Now I get the picture.
Well, that and you have a nice big truck, you know, so it's a comfortable ride. But yeah, I'm very okay with being chauffeured around. I have no problem with that. I don't have to drive. That's you know, for other people.
I find that very interesting because Ed is such a control freak.
Yeah, and he likes to drive.
And he likes to have me drive. Hmm. That's the one thing that he would much rather have me drive, and that way he can sit back and do nothing.
Well, it makes us feel important, above you when we're flying.
That's fine.
That's one way to look at it. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.